This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Horrifying news story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
All right, Michael, we'll keep on with some of the news going on in the World Cup. Lionel Messi became the highest goal scorer in men's World Cup history just moments ago, actually. As he moved up to 17 and breaking a tie with Germany legend Miroslav Klose. He's not close anymore. He broke the tie in Argentina's Group J match with Austria. The Argentinian captain has now scored in six consecutive World Cup games since 2022. And based on the four games I've watched so far, it is hard to score goals. But if you're a stud, you can do it, and you make it look relatively easy. Michigan coach Dusty May is finalizing a deal to take the Dallas Mavericks head coaching job, according to ESPN. That one is pretty crazy. That changes a lot of things, both in the college sports world and the NBA. Dusty May is 49 years old. He led Michigan basketball to the national title in 2026. He'll coach a franchise with Cooper Flagg as his build around, as his kind of linchpin player. Mavericks, of course, fired Jason Kidd after a 26-56 season last year. Not really Jason Kidd's fault, unless he knew about Luka. May led Michigan to a 64-13 record over the past two seasons in Ann Arbor. In his previous job, he led Florida Atlantic to back-to-back NCAA tournaments. Certainly a guy on the rise. That's a tough gig. It's a tough goal. But you got Cooper Flagg, who will be there for a little bit until they maybe trade him. That's
Didn't
the reputation
Florida
they get.
Atlantic like get to the Sweet 16 or the Elite 8 or something?
Sweet 16, maybe. Maybe.
I seem to remember, like, Florida Atlantic, a school I'd never heard of, making it somewhere. And I'm like, what? Or was that Florida International?
Florida Gulf Coast. Do you remember Florida Gulf Coast?
Nah, they're too far away.
That was the dunk one. They were dunking all over the place. That's who I'm thinking of. That was a long time ago now, though, but they were kind of famous for a bit. But Dusty May will be the first college head coach to take an NBA job since former Michigan coach John Beilein took the Cleveland Cavs job back in 2019. The last to leave college immediately after winning a national title was Kansas's Larry Brown. We know a thing or two about Larry Brown here in this state. That was in 1988. Florida's Billy Donovan was the most recent NCAA title winning coach to leave for the NBA in 2005. That's it. Who knows how that transition works, man? It's not an easy thing to do, to go from the college game to the pros. I mean, you look like Brad Stevens, who was a damn good coach in college. I mean, pretty good. It was okay. I mean, Boston was fine, but he kind of found his role more in the upper office than actually coaching. It's a tough gig. Maybe, do you think it's going to be an easier transition for college coaches to make into the pros now because they're dealing with players that make money now? In some cases, they're small cases, but still some cases, they're dealing with players that are making more money than them.
Basketball, yes. Football, no.
Really?
Football, it's just so difficult to go from college to the NFL.
It's difficult to do that in the NBA. You don't see a ton of great college coaches that are NBA coaches. They're usually just recycled assistant coaches in the NBA that make it. Or maybe they've had a stint in college. It was just a long time ago.
I feel like it's for basketball, it's probably a little better. You're dealing with bigger egos now, less egos, but a different type of ego. Football is just way, way, way complicated. There's so much involved in it, especially if you're one of those coaches that wants to be a GM as well.
I think the transition will be different. I think it will be a little bit easier across all sports because you are one of the tough transitions that a lot of coaches will tell you is like we go from being fatherly almost toward a lot of these dudes to their fathers. They're actually fathers, you know. They have kids, they have families, and we got to get on them and we got to yell at them and they're making triple than we are. I just wonder how that will actually change. You know, as college sports continues to change. The Atlanta Hawks are finalizing a deal to acquire guard Aaron Wiggins. His name did come up in random Nuggets rumors, but sounds like the Hawks are going to get him from the Oklahoma City Thunder for 2 second-round draft picks, sources told ESPN Shams on Sunday night.
Yeah, people are really freaking out about that, but I'm just saying, guys, you're just wigging out. No big deal.
Stop. The Thunder will receive Atlanta's second-round pick in 2030 and the least favorable of the Hawks or the Lakers' second-round pick in 2032. Can you just add something? Can you just add something about the trade? Like, if you don't know anything about this trade, then you don't need to say anything. You don't need to add your little puns. You don't need to do it. Meanwhile, with the Nuggets, rumor mill is out there, is churning. According to DNVR Nuggets, the Nuggets have signaled a willingness to discuss trading Zeke Nnaji and the number 26 pick as a trade package. It would be the only way I think you could move off of Zeke Nnaji's contract. I think you would have to throw in probably a somewhat meaningful draft pick. If they don't trade that 26 pick, Zubi Ejiofor is the name that keeps coming up in many of the mock drafts for the Nuggets. He was with St. John's. Isn't it St. John's that he was with? No, I think I'm wrong on that one. Yeah, it was St. John's. I'm not excited about the draft, really. I do think that, you know, maybe you can... The Nuggets really just haven't done a whole lot in the draft. I mean, we were looking at that not long ago. And, I mean, yeah, you got Christian Brown was awesome his rookie year. I think it's fair to say that he's kind of dwindled every year since. I really hope that it could work out for Brown, but I just don't know. And then the Peyton Watson thing is huge. Can they sign a guy like this and he actually lives up to that full potential that you want? Because that's all the talk, is that Peyton Watson is going to be the next star. And that's what I think you're banking off of that. Now, there are other rumors out there that Aaron Gordon's on the trade block, or at least they're letting it be known. We're going to have conversations about him. I thought the headline was interesting from DNVR Nuggets, though, the whole, hey, we're letting the world know, we're signaling a willingness to discuss. They should be willing to discuss Zeke Nnaji all the time. Nothing against him. I was excited when he came out, when he came to the league, but it just didn't work out for whatever reason. Michael Malone wasn't crazy about him or whatever. It didn't work on the depth chart, but they're trying to get off of Najee's contract, which is still... It's not like one of those monster contracts, but it's, what is it, $9+ million for a guy that never plays other than garbage minutes or when you're like depleted with injury? That was one of Calvin Booth's worst mistakes when it comes to contracts, was Zeke Nnaji. Now, it's not a franchise crippling move, but it's certainly one of them that kind of knocks you down for a little bit. And if they can move off of that contract, I will be absolutely stunned. But if you throw in a 26 pick, what's more important? taking a shot at drafting number 26 and seeing if that guy works out, or moving off of a bad contract? Because I think you got to do one in this. You can't do both.
I'd say it depends on what your situation is. If you're
The Nuggets are overspending and they want to afford keeping a potential superstar, well, a potential star on their team, and maybe add a few more pieces. That's where they are. They're not in exactly a healthy cap situation, especially if they decide they're going to pull the trigger on Peyton Watson. But they got to do all this before they pull the trigger on Peyton Watson, because even if you get out of the second apron within the same week, if you approach that second apron, it counts. If you hit that second apron, it counts all year, even if you move out, at least some of the penalties that go against you. From my understanding, it's as complicated as watching soccer, which, again, Adam Silver, the commissioner of the NBA, starting to think he's a soccer fan because it is very complicated. 16 minutes after the hour, Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, set to join us here in just a moment. The Big 12 is not necessarily done yet, Mike. They're in no rush to pull the lawsuit that they've levied against Texas Tech when it comes to the Brendan Sorsby thing. So we'll talk to Mark about that coming up and get his thoughts on all things college athletics. It's the whole show powered by Mosquito Joe. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Summer months can be busy.
I'm busy!
Keep up with the latest in local news, sports, and weather on Good Morning NoCo, weekdays 6 to 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey everybody, this is former CSU running back Kyle Bell, and you are listening to my main man, Brady Hole, on The Hole Show. Do not turn your dial. Keep it right here.
Just 20 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour, joining me now, Mark Johnson, the voice of the Buffaloes. And of course, during the season, we'll be able to talk more things specifically about those Colorado Buffaloes. But it is June 22nd. And Mark, pretty much every week since he's been on with us the last 2 months, it's been what's going on with college athletics. Mark, my man, always great to catch up with you. And I look forward to these conversations in the good times and the bad, my friend.
Well, I think there's a couple of things to address before we get to college athletics, and that is, am I speaking to the baby face?
We got it done, Mark. We got it done. Nice. And we did it in June this year. We didn't have to go all the way through August.
Love it. Well, there were people, in fact, the local pest control people are very glad that whatever was growing in your face has finally been shaved off to save the community of Greeley from dealing with the pests that were following you. Secondly, by the way, I texted you from, I was at the Cattleman's Steakhouse in Greeley on Saturday, and I texted you from there.
How was that, my friend?
Well, it was fantastic. And I'm just wondering, how have I known you for this many years and you've never taken me there? That's what I was trying to figure out.
Well, you know, last couple times we met in Severance, you know, hung out there, of course. But, all right, next time, you've done this to me before. You're like, hey, man, I'm in the area. I'm like, you know what, Mark, let me know. I know you're a cowboy and it's by everything's, you know, shoot off the hip and all that. But next time you let me know and I'll take you out somewhere nice, Mark. I promise.
I didn't realize I was going to be coming through. We went out to the Grover Rodeo on Saturday. And took that in, and we just happened to kind of swing through really on the way home, and that's where we stopped there. And I just think I'm a big salad bar guy, and they had a salad bar, and so I was just as pleased as I could possibly be. So I think maybe the sales team needs to work on making them a sponsor for my appearance every week.
Mike, get on that, please. Make a call. We'll get our best guys on it, Mark. Don't worry. He'll be all over it very, very soon.
You lost me at salad bar.
Craziness of college athletics are we talking about?
Well, I mean, where do you want to go? It sounds like the Big 12's, you know, they're not in any big rush to pull the lawsuit over the Sorsby eligibility. I don't know. After all the craziness, maybe it seems like things have quieted just a bit. But then again, we also have the Big 10, and we got Cantwell saying they're bullying other conferences to make the decision they want to be made. It still just continues to be all over the place, Mark.
Well,
so it just depends on where you want to go.
Last week on Monday, I was still in Centerville, Ohio, and we had posed the question from Brendan Sorsby's standpoint: is there not somebody within his life that can say, young man, you're creating an enormous issue in college athletics. Let's you know, kind of step back, work your way out of this, go into supplemental draft, and you know, take some of the pressure off at this point in time. Well, somebody obviously got to him. Now, does that mean that, you know, the power brokers behind Texas Tech, Cody Campbell and the folks, did they write him the check just to get him out of town? I've not seen anybody speculate too deeply on that. I'm still wondering about that. And now what does the NFL do with this guy? You've got a guy that's been accused and allegedly, from a true standpoint, he was gambling on sports. Do you just open him with open arms into the NFL? I mean, those are some interesting things. The Brandon Sorsby thing is a story that just keeps on giving, and it's going to affect many aspects of sports.
We had talked about that, too, a couple weeks ago, like cut him a check. And, yeah. You know, I'd read something along the lines of, you know, they're not going to ask for his NIL money back, and I kind of looked at it the same. You know, that's exactly what you've been saying. We referenced right. that a few times. Like, yeah, it might not be a direct we're writing the check, but we're not going to make you pay anything back.
Right, exactly. And so I'm wondering if there was not, you know, somebody, a coaching friend of mine, once said to me, because I was talking about all the sums of money that are being tossed around, and we were, you know, kind of going back and forth, and, you know, how can you do this? You're paying guys that aren't very good, and they just keep money. Where's the return on investment on this? And this friend of mine looked at me and said, Mark, you got to understand something. We're talking about billionaires here, right? And so when we talk about $5 million, that's an enormous amount of money for us average Joes right out there. But he said, if you're a billionaire, if you're Elon Musk or, you know, Jeff Bezos or one of those kind of guys, $5 million is not a lot of money. It's a couple hundred bucks to you and me. And when you put it in that context, I kind of thought, well, that kind of makes sense. Most of those guys, in interest on whatever they have, make more than they spend every day anyway, right? And so I'm still wondering if behind the scenes, if somebody didn't, and I've got nothing to back this up, but just me speculating, if somebody just didn't say, write him the check, get him out of here, we're not going to ask for anything back, give him what we said we're going to, that way he gets out of here with all the money in hand, and isn't losing anything in that regard, and we don't have to mess with this anymore. Because I do think, from a Texas Tech perspective, they were looking desperately for an out as bad as this thing got. Now what's the purpose of the Big 12 not rescinding this lawsuit at this point in time? Is this the league kind of slapping them down, trying to teach them a lesson, put them in their place? I haven't been able to decipher exactly what's going on there. Since Sorsby's gone, he's not going to play for Texas Tech. What's the point in continuing this from a legal standpoint? I'm not sure I'm smart enough to figure that out.
Yeah, I don't really get that one either. In fact, you and I have talked about Texas Tech, and I didn't like a lot of what they were saying and how they were saying it during this process. But you and I, you brought this up, like, they were in a really hard spot. They were in between a rock and a hard place. So I think their biggest mistake, honestly, was talking about it so much and doing their roundtable. But the ones that really should be in question here is Cincinnati. Now,
yes.
And Mark, I read that story last week that, hey, Cincinnati is still maintaining they didn't know anything about this, but they were alerted that Brendan Sorsby he had entered an app, whatever their whatever you know more about this than I do, whatever device they have that can track and tell whether people are getting ready to get on a gambling app. Well, Sorsby was alerted to them, and they basically took Sorsby saying, and I read this on ESPN saying, I didn't gamble because it wouldn't let me in. That's a red flag. So you would have gambled had they let you in? Like, why didn't Cincinnati follow up more on that? They should be given a lot more grief from that situation, even if they didn't know much more beyond that.
There's no doubt about it. There's a couple of things here. First off, address what you just said about Texas Tech, and they kept getting themselves in trouble every time they opened their mouth. You know, there's a great old line, and I won't get it exactly right, but I think it was Mark Twain who once said it, who basically said, better to be thought a fool than to open your mouth and to prove that you are, right?
Yeah.
And so there's wisdom in not saying anything. And we have seen that in numerous PR situations, both in athletics and out of athletics. It's best many times shut your mouth, circle the wagons, have one person who's the message, and that's always a very controlled message. And Texas Tech failed miserably at that. You're right. That little roundtable video they did for 18 to 20 minutes was it should be an SNL skit, for goodness sake.
It was really rough, man.
Now the Cincinnati thing is fascinating. And we all know this. It's kind of the Watergate philosophy or theory, I guess, where the cover-up is worse than the crime, right? And so we get into these situations now with Cincinnati where they obviously knew. Why it's so hard for organizations, I understand there's going to be pain when we find out that there's a misstep. I was just watching something this morning where there was a misstep, a legal issue at a church out east someplace, and the videos and the cover-up afterward are worse than what actually happened. And you think, why do people do that? Why can't we just understand when there's an issue? We all know what black and white are, right? We know it's black or it's white. It's good or it's bad. We understand there are lines we don't cross. And so the idea of when we stumble upon, oh, goodness, something has happened, it's not pleasant, we don't want to deal with it, but rip the Band-Aid off quickly and get over it instead of covering up and trying to deal with it in shades of gray, instead of just stepping forward like a big boy and saying, we had a problem, here's what we found, here's what's going on, and we need to address this. You know, there have been times in my professional life, and even from a volunteer standpoint, where I've, you know, ascended to positions of leadership. And in those, one thing I've always preached is responsibility and transparency, and deal with the missteps you have. Gary Barnett, when he was coaching, I always used to say, fess it and fix it. And that stuck with me since I heard that from Gary the first time back in 2004. So every time I've been in one of these leadership positions, I've always said, okay, we've got a problem. We have to address it immediately. And you do what's right, and you take the proper steps, and then you deal with the repercussions, because if we don't and we hide it and we flap our gums and try to make all sorts of excuses, it's going to be worse on the back end. But we cannot seem to get people to understand that when they get in those positions of power.
Mark Johnson joining us, talking all things college sports. Mark, you have, on the Cincinnati thing, what are your thoughts there, too, with, hey, what did they know exactly? And again, it's a major red flag to me that they were aware that he was maybe trying to get on a gambling app, but he said it wouldn't let him in. Why wasn't that followed up with more? Because he was trying. He would have done it.
Exactly right. You know, I was going to shoot the guy, but I realized I forgot to put ammunition in the gun.
Yeah, right.
You may want to address that situation right there. And that's why I do think, from a league standpoint, you have to have some serious discussions, and there may have to be some sort of penalty. Now, what might that be, a fine or whatever it might be? Because you apparently have got solid information that a kid was attempting to gamble, and even if he didn't, if they knew he was attempting to, that has to be addressed because of what you and I have talked about in the past. The credibility of the game has to be number one. And so I do think that Cincinnati needs to be a little bit more under the microscope than they are at this point in time. It's been all about Texas Tech at this point. But keep in mind, this guy's been at two previous stops. My guess is it didn't just start, once he got to Texas Tech. Obviously, we know that it was at Cincinnati. What about the previous stop prior to that? Mm. Was there stuff there going on? Why wasn't that discussed? Why wasn't that brought to the forefront? And so you do need to take, I think, work backwards now within this, and kind of get some answers in that regard. And whatever slapping of the wrist needs to take place, needs to take place.
Yeah, it continues to be fascinating, this whole thing. And then you have Senator Cantwell accusing kind of the Big Ten and SEC of essentially bullying some of the other conferences and to try to go along with their way. You got the Big Ten and the SEC coming out saying, no, we didn't.
Well, we didn't need anybody in Washington, D.C. to tell us that. We're all fully aware of the Big Ten and SEC if we try to bully people
in
college athletics. And until we get to the point where those two leagues begin to understand that we all need each other. Now, do we need 138 Division I teams? Well, maybe we don't need that, but we do need each other at the top end if we're going to kind of work our way through this and get some sort of handle on this out-of-control system we have right now. Until they begin to understand that, I don't know where the answer comes from here. Because ultimately, as we've talked about before, if they decide to go and do their own thing, and by the way, if they do jump, they're going to be kicking some of the unwanted stepkids out of the family. I guarantee you that's going to happen. Because what they're going to want is going to be the survival of the fittest. And ultimately, that's what this is going to turn out to be anyway. It's going to be the survival of the fittest at the top. And so if you're somebody that doesn't have the Q rating or the television ratings or the means or the market brand they're going to get kicked out, and that's part of that whole musical chairs deal you and I've talked about now for quite some time. But yeah, the SEC and the Big Ten, I understand you really like the position you're in right now, but if you're not careful here, you could turn over the apple cart and ruin everything for everybody.
Yeah, yeah. It's it's just, if you stop paying attention to any of this stuff for a second, you gotta. It's going to take a bit to get caught up, because every day there's something new happening. Mark, always appreciate it, my friend. Hey, let me know if you're going to make it up here for the Greeley Stampede at all. It might be fun.
I will. Hey, by the way, when you shaved it off, did you terrify your son when he came walking around the corner?
No, but he was definitely like, something's different about you, man. My dog's the one you got to watch out for, because he looked at me like I was just insane, and he was freaked out. He's like, who are you, man? Last year, he actually barked at me and freaked out for a moment. This year, I went up to him slowly. I'm like, hey, bear, buddy, look at my face. Look at me.
You should have done a video on it. You know, that's kind of a social media thing where guys who are longtime facial hair guys shave it off and they surprise their wife or their girlfriend or kids or something, and they walk around a corner and women start crying or kids start screaming, or, you know, it's always kind of funny. So.
I thought about it, but I was so desperate to just get this thing off my face. I was so tired of it, Mark. I'd been working out in the sun all day and sweating nonstop. I felt disgusting. So as soon as it was done, I got up, sprinted, and took that thing down, man.
You went from looking like Jeremiah Johnson to Urkel. Now you look like you're 12 years old.
Hey, you know what? Urkel, actually, when you take the glasses off, you know he became Stefan, Mark. He jumped into the device that turned him into Stefan.
I know.
So he's got the ability to be cool, at least.
Well, I'm not sure you've got the same ability, but you get my point.
Mark, always appreciate it, man. We'll catch up with you soon.
See you, brother. Bye.
That was Family Matters, Michael. They jumped the shark once Steve Urkel created a device where he stepped inside of it and he became Stefan.
Stefan Urkel.
Yeah, that was weird.
It did. It did kind of jump the shark.
Yeah, it did.
It was, I think for a long time they wanted to do a reboot, but the dad died.
Oh, they wanted to actually do a reboot of that?
Yeah, there was some kind of like speculation, like maybe we could... we could reboot.
Dude,
or we could add another season to it.
They don't make sitcoms like they did in the late 80s, early 90s. They just don't do it, man.
You go back and watch that, it, for the most part, was pretty tacky. There was one episode that was actually really good that I saw that was about something, that was about violence. And that was a good episode, but for the most part, it's like, Steve, I'm angry at you.
Yeah, that was, that one, but that was good. Did you like it? I liked Family Matters. I loved her.
I had
an Urkel doll, Michael. I had an Urkel doll. You pulled a little cord and you go, did I do that? It was hilarious. It was one of my favorite toys.
Did I do that? I'm going to start saying that.
That
now
was one of his sayings, was, did I do that? Or got any cheese? He loved cheese. He kind of reminds me of you, actually, Mike.
He's smart, nerdy, likes cheese.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say it now. I am the Steve Urkel. But the Stefan Urkel.
Nope. You're Urkel. You are Urkel. So Family Matters was good. What else? Full House?
Eh.
Very corny. But
yeah,
It worked.
Did you know that, who's the guy with the dark hair?
Jesse?
He's
Uncle
actually
Jesse?
A drummer in real life.
Uncle Jesse?
Yeah.
And then Michelle was always up to something. You never knew what she was going to do.
Which one was Michelle?
The little girl. The little one.
Oh,
the youngest of the three girls. And there's Deej. Deej was the oldest. Stephanie, middle child.
Yeah, I don't know enough about it.
Kimmy? Was it Kimmy? Kimmy Gibbler? How about Kimmy Gibbler? You don't remember? You're like Kimmy Gibbler. Look her up. You'll know what I mean. No, don't do that. That's mean.
I'm going to look it up.
There's Uncle Joey, who told all the jokes. He was funny. And then Danny Tanner liked to keep everything clean. How do I know so much about this? I grew up with three sisters, and we watched Full House all the time. It was not bad, but who am I kidding? It was a really good show. It was just a really good show.
Then they rebooted it.
They rebooted Full House?
Yeah, I think they had a season of episodes.
What'd they call
it? I don't
it?
Think the
More
Olsen
Full
twins
House?
Participated.
No, they don't do the movies anymore. You know, it took me for a while to realize that the girl, the Scarlet Witch person in the Avengers movies, is their sister.
Yeah.
Is the Olsen.
They have like a
She's
bunch of like kids in that family.
Yeah. I didn't know that. I mean, yeah, it makes total sense. They look very similar, but
She's
I didn't know that.
Now
for
more famous
time.
Than they are.
Mm-hmm. Well, they do fashion. So we don't fashion world is a different beast, Michael. You and I would know nothing about that.
Yeah, I'm not going to get into the fashion world. I have Broncos fashion. That's enough for me.
Yeah, you look great. Aaron says, I also remember whatever he took to become Stefan gave him high iron levels, and I'm pretty sure he filtered his blood to find that out. Seriously? Was it like a serious situation there? Why are you looking at me like that? You're looking at me in a really weird way. I don't know. He said, Chris, I bet you Charlie Blackman was would be unrecognizable if the beard was gone. Also, James Harden. Yes, I mean, I remember Charlie Blackman before he had the beard. James Harden, kind of. Like, yeah. But it just seems like that's been such a big part of them for so long. It's hard to imagine, you know, those dudes not having a beard. Now, I only had this for a few months, Mike. And I shaved it off and my face looked like way different. I can't imagine if you had it on for years and then you make that change. 39 minutes after the hour. Mike, let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local sports flash.
There's only one sound like the key tumbling the lock open for the first time. One feeling like finally seeing your place after you've emptied all the moving boxes. That moment when four walls and a roof become the home you've always wanted. If you're on the search for that special place, we're the community bank that'll help you get there. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Hi, this is Terry Fry, author, journalist, screenwriter, and you're listening to Brady Hull on The Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
I did not know. No, I did. I think I did know this. Smitty texting in, did you know Alanis Morissette's song, You Oughta Know? Look that up, Mike. Look that up. It's a good song. Alanis Morissette, also queen of the 90s, was about her relationship and breakup with Dave Collier from the TV show Full House. Wasn't that Uncle Joey? Not Jesse? Not Jesse Stamos, or whatever Stamos? Uncle Joey. Alanis Morissette and the dude that played Uncle Joey. Make sure this doesn't have curse words in it. Do we know? We don't know that. She could be feisty, Mike.
It does have some
sense. I just saw you a little nervous back there. Yeah, it was about her or him, apparently. Is that 100% sure? True? I don't know. 90s was a weird time, Mike.
Isn't that every one of Taylor Swift's songs? Like, I broke up with someone.
Yeah, but this was actually an adult relationship. This isn't just like high school and you were dating for 4 weeks and then you didn't go to prom or something. This is actually like they were adults. Not in high school or anything. So, you weren't a big Full House guy, huh?
No.
Really? Too good for Full House?
Yeah, I like smart television like Star Trek.
Full House was extremely smart. Danny Tanner, at the end of every episode, they'd have to figure out what they learned about life growing up in a house
like
in San Francisco.
South Park, where they learn everything at the end. You know what I learned today, Brady?
Star Trek is not smart. It's fake Jedi ninjas running around pouring gasoline into their jets and orbiting up to a different planet. That's not smart. It's not smart. How is that smart?
First of all,
no,
Brady, they use impulse engines, thrusters, and warp drive.
A warp drive. Yeah, we made everything up. That's smart.
No, they're looking into warp drive. NASA is.
Star Trek is fake, Mike. It's not real. There's no Zolar Borgs. None of that stuff. There's no Krakens or whatever they call it. Live Long and Kraken or whatever it is. That's not real.
Those are from Seattle.
Those are all make-believe, Mike. Make-believe.
Like The Hull Show.
Mitty says, "What make believe with you here, with whatever crap you're bringing in. Like, I actually bring it every day. I actually talk about sports topics, and you come in with, hey, here's a pun, and also I like Star Trek.
Actually, I think if people went and looked back, they would note that you are the one who brings up Star Trek every time.
Well, because I just like to make fun of you. It's one of my only things I have for you. I mean, I can't compliment you because I don't want to lie to you. So I have to make fun of you. Faith says Full House had life lessons, Michael. Boom.
So did Star Trek.
No, it didn't. It's not real. Full House is based on like normal people doing stuff in life, driving cars in San Francisco. Yours is like, beam me up to the Zortox land and we can drink green juice together and whatever. It's not real. It's fake.
Speaking of San Francisco, that's where Starfleet's headquarters were, in San Francisco.
But that's fake.
It's real.
Danny Tanner is based on a real person.
Who?
It was a documentary. It's a real story.
I don't believe you.
You'll never know. It's a true story of a dad who lost his wife and had three daughters and had to figure out how to bring them up. And just so happened, he had his best friend and his wife's brother move in with him. And they
was
raised,
his wife's brother the
they raised the girls
guy
together.
Who was a part of this song?
Jesse? Uncle Jesse? No.
Yeah, which
no.
one was the
wife's
cool
brother
one? Which
was
one
Uncle
was
Jesse.
The dorky one?
Uncle Jesse was the wife's brother. He was the rock star.
Okay, yeah. He's a drummer in real life.
It's based on a true story. See, they got that part right. He was a drummer in real life. So, yeah. Don't fact check it, Mike. It's based on a true story. Go ahead.
I just fact check it, and it says everything that you're saying is wrong.
Mm-hmm. No. Everything I like is good. Everything you
According
like is
AI,
terrible.
According to AI, Brady is wrong about everything.
You are everything that's wrong in the radio industry. 12:48 the time. Let's take a quick break. We'll wrap up hour number two. Coach Mike Sanford is going to join us. He called it, man. Coach Sanford of Altitude Radio, partners of ours, of course, through our Nuggets and Abs coverage. He called it. He said July 20th is when we were going to shave. He said this at the beginning of the season. He knew they'd get 30 at June 20th. How? When? Why? We'll talk about that coming up later on.
And 1310 KFKA.
What's up, Hooligans? This is Zach Stevens with DNVR Broncos, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the show. Glad you could be with us here. Coming up in the next hour, the final hour of the show today, we'll catch up with Coach Mike Sanford. It's been a while since we've talked to him, but he was like all in on this idea that we did for the Dirty 30, Tanner and I teaming up to grow beards and grow our hair. Word got to our partners over at Altitude, and Sanford ran with it and decided to make it a prediction as to when this thing was going to end, and absolutely nailed it, Mike. I'm not kidding you. Before the season began, he called it and said this would end on June 20th. So, phenomenal job by Mike.
Or
how did he do it?
Is baseball fixed?
You think they fixed it for our Dirty 30?
No, but there's someone out there who's like, baseball's fixed.
For the Dirty 30? They fixed
not,
it for
not
that?
Just for, they just think that baseball is fixed. And I'm here to tell you, it's not.
I don't think if they're going to fix it for anything, I don't think it would be like, this would be the scandal. This would be the one. Help the guys shave their beards so they're not so hot this summer that we're going to fix this thing. Coming up, though, we'll get to Coach Mike Sanford, also clip of the day. More on the Denver Nuggets and what potentially they do for the draft tomorrow. So that will be interesting to see what they do. Will they use that pick to package and offload a contract? Or is there somebody they think that could actually come in and help them ASAP? All that and more coming up next.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.